You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett back in the presenter's chair once more, and I'm delighted to say that across from me in the studio is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, thanks Ben, very well indeed.
You've been part of our radio team today alongside Andy Gibson and Gareth Topham. Have you been in good form, sir?
I've been in good form. Does that mean I have to select winners to be in good form, or...?
Let's break that into two questions. Were you selecting any winners?
Not many.
Have you been in good comedic form?
Yes.
Oh, see? One goes with the other sometimes. That's fine. We all have those days. That's absolutely fine. Just the two meetings going ahead today. To be fair, that's one more than we thought we were going to get at some point yesterday. Mother Nature has gone kind on us and given us the Catterick card. Catterick and Lingfield were taking place on Tuesday. 12 races. Anything of those 12 caught your eye?
It was obviously low-key stuff throughout the day on Tuesday, but I thought there was a good novice chase at Catterick, won by the Paul Nicholls horse, but it was the second and third, the northern horses, that caught the eye. Obviously, the winner's rated 140-plus coming from France. The second, Crux's Escape, is rated 125, and Duc de Grise is rated 115. Now, they've ran, you know, two very nice races. Crux's Escape ran first time up over fences at Catterick, didn't jump all that well, but he improved massively today in terms of his jumping. He was much more assured, he learned a great deal from his debut, you know, and he's got within three lengths of a horse rated £20 higher. So, you know, be interesting to see what the handicapper does. And Duc de Grisier, who has run in some nice novice hurdles this year, you know, switched to novice chases at a strange time really of the year, but I thought jumped really well back in third, just got a little tired in the heavy ground. You know, again, you know, he's only rated 115. If he was on a handicap off that mark, he would be of interest. So for me on Tuesday, that was certainly the race of the most interest going forward.
If anyone wants to go back and watch that was the 3:45 Saint Sonnet one at a warm enough price at 1-5. But as Craig says, keep an eye out for that second and third battle. A couple of horses to pop in the notebook then. We are recording this around about 5:20. The last race has been and gone. There was a delay to Catterick's last race. Alison Clark came down in the second. The news is that she has broken her arm. So everyone here at William Hill, of course, sends our best, and hopefully a swift recovery will ensue. You're back tomorrow, Craig. So these picks for the next couple of races, there's a little bit of pressure on you here, because you're back tomorrow with Andy again. But we've had a couple of winners the last time you and I have podcasted. You've been in good form on the podcast, at least. Is that right?
It is, yeah. We've usually done the Friday shift for the Saturday.
We have, yes.
So we've had a little bit better quality to aim at. But let's hope we can keep that run going, Ben. Yes, it's been a good run. It's been a really good run.
Well, let's keep that going then. Let's keep that going with a couple of races at Musselburgh on Wednesday. Just to bring you guys, the listeners to our podcast, up to date with what we are expecting tomorrow. It looks a nice full Wednesday, full of action. We're really looking forward to it. As I've mentioned, Craig and Andy are back on the radio alongside Mark Walton, and they will be tackling meetings at Market Raisin, Musselburgh, Southall, Wincanton and Kempton. The racing is due to get underway at 12:25 at Market Raisin, so the team will be on air about 10 minutes prior to that, and will be coming off air after the last race of the evening, the 8:30 at Kempton. As I've alluded to then, we've got a couple of races we're going to talk about at Musselburgh, and we're going to start with the 2:40 contest, 2 miles and basically 3 miles, 2 miles, 7 furlongs and 179 yards, 11 of them currently listed to go to post. I'll run down the card before we come to your selection, Craig. First Account, 11-8 favourite, Trongate, 15-2, Buckled, 8-1, Big Bad Dream, 17-2, double figure prices then, Dad's in Trouble, 10s, Jenny's Day, 10s, Island Heights 12-1, Total Assets 12-1, Caligvigny 16-1, Arthur's Secret 16-1, 1 and Emirat Di Katana 16-1 as well. So 11 to choose from. Which way are we going to head for a selection, Craig?
Boring.
Are you going for the favourite?
Yeah. But, you know, he's a progressive horse. I was impressed with his victory here last week.
Okay.
You know, he stalked the pace on that occasion. He made a couple of mistakes, just novice mistakes, you know. He's only had a couple of goes under rules over fences. And, you know, when he took up the running off the bend, he looked like a horse that didn't want to be in front too long. He looked like he was just idling a little bit out in front. But I think that was down to the trip.
Okay.
I think he still, despite, you know, stepping up from 2 to 2.5, I still think he found 2.5 on the sharp side.
Okay.
And when you look at the way he pulled away from the second after the last, that was probably the most impressive part of the win, to be honest, you know. And he just shaped like he would improve again, going up to 3 miles, the way he finished off in that event. You know, he's on a decent mark here. He's very, very progressive, and there should be a good pace to aim at. And there's a lot to like about First Account. I think 11-8 is very fair judged on his win and his mark and the ground, everything's there. And like I said, I think there's even more to come from him now as he steps up and trip, given the way he finished off when last seen last week.
Can I just ask you about one of the other runners in the field? A quick look at this race, and the one that jumped out to me was Buckled, course and distance winner, one last time out. For the uninitiated amongst us, including myself, what's stopping Buckled joining the likes of First Account towards the head of the betting here?
A couple of things.
Okay.
One, the rise in the weight. Uh-huh. He's gone up 11 pounds for that success.
It's a big jump.
It is a big jump. He did get his own way out in front that day. And he is a horse that, you know, he has to lead.
Okay.
He must dominate from the front in his races. He will face competition for that lead in the early stages, which would put me off Buckled following up.
There we go then. That's why we won't be backing Buckled, but we'll be backing First Account, the 240 at Musselburgh. That is a Northern Lights Stayers Hurdle Series qualifier, Class 4 over, all but makes no difference, 3 miles, 0-120 contest. We're going to scooch forward 1 whole hour to the 340 at Musselburgh. We've got a 1 mile, 7 furlongs and 124 yards. So again, all but makes no difference, 1 miles and 7.5 furlongs. Verging on being a 2 mile contest. This is a Northern Lights 2 mile series qualifier, another Class 4, 0-115. Again, betting is available on williamhill.com and on the app. We've got 10 of them currently listed. Blory.com is the favourite at 3-1. Monfass 5-1. Mr. Manduro 6-1. 13-2 for Frightened Rabbit. Royal Cosmic 8-1. Smart Lass 17-2. Then we're into the double figure prices for Gembug Drummer at 10s. Mamdude at 10s. 11s for R. Lucas. Outsider of the Lot. Uncle Norman at 16-1. Again, then, Craig, where is the selection here?
I quite like Monfass here.
Not the favourite, though. That's good.
No, Blurry.com is the favourite here. Horse, it's in fine form. I mean, comes out a well-run race for the grade. Clocked a good time behind Bathsheba Bay here at Musselburgh 3 weeks ago. Blair Campbell gets on well with a horse having won on him a couple of starts back. So, yeah, he's a worthy favourite, is Blurry.com. But Monfass has done a little wrong this year. I thought he ran very well first time up. He travelled really well into the contest that day at Kelso. He certainly gave me a scare. I was on the winner that day, and I thought Monfass was coming to win. And he just needed that. Hexham probably found the ground heavy enough for him when finishing fourth, but that is a race that, you know, the Hexham race has worked out fairly well. Frightened Rabbit, who's obviously in here, has gone on and won a couple of races, and Shetland Bus landed a little bit of a gamble on his next start. So a couple of winners from that race, and then at Catterick last time, again, you know, he just looks like he's running himself into form. Finishing fourth on that occasion, the winner made all, got away on the front end. And Monfass, you know, probably wasn't suited to how it was the race was run. So I think there's more to come from him. I think there's better to come from him. He's well handicapped on a mark of 104. He's ran 3 times this year. He's run well on each occasion. And I think his turn is close from this mark.
Monfass, second favourite in the betting, at 5. 5-1, goes up against the favourite Bloury.com at 3-1. A couple of races to look out for then at Musselburgh on Wednesday. The going is currently soft. Any more rain and it won't be soft for much longer. Craig, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast.
Thank you, Ben.
Racing radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, open William Hill Racing Radio and leave the rest to us.
Huge thanks to Craig Forsyth for joining us on today's edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. There will be another edition tomorrow, so don't miss out on that. Now, as a bit of a Brucey bonus, on Monday evening, we've got a new feature on William Hill Racing Radio called the William Hill Notebook. We asked Darren Owen, the presenter, to pose the following question to his pundit, Will Smith. We were looking for five performances across any grade, any race, anywhere across the last week. The horse didn't have to win, it just had to make his or her way into Will Smith's notebook going forward. So, we can now bring you that audio, Will Smith's notebook from Monday night, William Hill Racing Radio.
You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Now, I was looking for a notebook jingle, but I can't see one. Just to give you the big billing. You know, a little bit of a musical intro.
To the William Hill Notebook on Racing Radio.
Oh yeah, there it is. That's authentic. That's the notebook. That's the notebook.
That is my notebook.
That is your notebook.
Page is being flicked.
How many horses have you got in your notebook?
I've got five.
Oh,
talk about. Yeah, we don't have to talk about all five.
No, listen, we've got the time. We've got the time. So if you're willing, we're going to listen.
Yeah,
we're willing to listen. We're willing to listen. So these horses you've seen recently, obviously.
Yeah, in the last week. Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was probably the best.
I think that's a good idea.
They're fairly high-ish profile, all of them. They'd all be...
Listen, there's no conditions on this. They can be from any class sector of the game.
And I thought they were probably...
But we know you're a man for the big meetings.
Yeah, I tend to focus, certainly from a punting point of view, focus on the bigger meetings, just because of a time restraint point of view. So I'd say that every one of these five, I'll be able to suggest a reasonable idea of maybe a race that they could potentially win in the next couple of months.
We like that.
Yeah, which, I mean, some of those races will have markets available, some of them won't do as yet, but I think they're sort of likely types for it.
Yeah.
So, the first one is going to be from probably one of the more higher profile races on Saturday at Kempton, the rearranged Kingwell Hurdle. Obviously rearranged from Wincanton last Saturday, and it was the really well-backed favourite. Not often your eye-catcher is actually the winner of the race, but the way that Song for Someone won the Kingwell Hurdle on Saturday, I thought screamed of a horse that won in spite of a lot of things, because he wants softer ground, ideally. The ground was good to soft and drying pretty rapidly on Saturday. He's a horse that goes from the front, and he was taken on for the lead by Quick Grab Him, a horse of Fergal O'Brien's. And rounding the home turn, it just looked as if those two pace setters had set things up for the sort of smooth travelling hold up merchants, Diego de Charmille and Chitabello. And they actually went between the last two flights. Diego de Charmille and Chitabello went a couple of lengths up, and you felt for all the world that Song for Someone was done with. But the fact that he had the guts and the resolution and the willingness to re-rally and come and claim them in the shadows of the post from two horses who were, you know, they weren't stopping Diego de Charmille and Chitabello. They were having their own race together, and Song for Someone managed to come and pick them on the line again. Granted, a bit more cut in the ground, granted a bit further, he's going to be potentially a horse that might go off a decent enough price for maybe the Aintree Hurdle, something like that, over 2.5. Obviously, he's a strong stayer at two, but he won over just shy of two. He was second over just shy of 2.5 to Thomas Darby in the valuable handicap at Ascot the time before. Thomas Darby was a shade disappointing in the National Spirit Hurdle, but I think ultimately he's probably slightly better on better ground, and he maybe got away with it on the heavy ground of Ascot once and then just resented it a little bit at Fontwell. So, but I think that's really strong form. And I think that Song, for someone who has been crying out for a step up in trip, particularly if it is to be on spring type ground. So
Song for someone?
Yeah, he's the first one.
Okay, from Saturday afternoon at Kempton.
Yep, two more from Saturday afternoon at Kempton.
Yes, that's fine.
That both come out of the what used to be the Racing Post Chase. It's had about seven different incarnations since then. It was a horse, well, a couple of horses that were ultimately, they were in fourth and fifth. So I won't say they were well beaten, because they were only three or four lengths off the winner, Mr. Malarkey. But Watmore, for Henry Daly and Tom O'Brien, came into this race much the least exposed of all of them. The race was full of sort of hard-knocking handicappers who had been there and done it. And this one, this one had only had four chase starts up until now, all in novice chases. The one before Saturday was eye-catching at Warwick when behind two for gold, when not really getting a clear run. And it was very much a case of, if he ran poorly, you could use the experience excuse, I think, for him. But he ran an absolute cracker, because he wasn't overly fluent at his fences, but he seems to have a way of getting from A to B without losing too much momentum. And he's never come close to falling on all five of his chase starts to date. So while he doesn't look the most extravagant of jumpers, he's an efficient jumper, shall we say. And he made up, he was the one horse that came from furthest back in the run. And if you stop the race between the last two fences, he's the one that actually travels the best up until that point in the race. And having come from further back than most, his run flattered out just in the, you know, over the last, and he was only beaten four lengths in the end, but he's got a mark of 1.38, which won't be touched after Saturday. And he does have a couple of Cheltenham Festival entries. He's in the Novice Handicap Chase on day one, which, if he turned up there, I'd be very keen on him. A mark of 1.38 might not actually get him in that, because it's such a competitive and sought after race, isn't it, that you often have to be 140 and above to actually get in it. So that might come soon enough as well. It was 2.5 weeks after Kempton, but at some stage he's definitely going to prove better than a 1.38 chaser.
Okay,
so that's Watmore.
Yeah,
and from the same race, Kildasart, a horse who actually ran a cracker at last year's Cheltenham Festival, went fourth in the old JLT, the Golden Miller Novice Chase. He then went on to win when he stepped up to 3 miles for the first time at Aintree in the 3 mile handicap chase there. Bizarrely, again, won by Mr. Malarkey. He seems to keep bumping into the in-form Colin Tizard horse. But that was his fourth chase start this season. And it was the first time he had a bit of better ground as well. All the other three runs came on real soft and heavy ground. And again, he came from quite far back in the run to make up a bit of ground, and just very much suggested that Kempton wasn't quite his track, and that, granted, a nice stamina test at 3 miles on decent ground, potentially over further, he's in the National. Whether that's just a bit too much of a culture shock for him, I'm not sure. He didn't look, or he doesn't look, the bravest sort of jumper, so whether the National is quite for him, or maybe a year too soon, I'm not sure. He is in the Ultima on day one of the Cheltenham Festival. Again, it comes soon enough, but he has run well at the festival previously, so every chance to do so again. But if he does go back to that 3 mile handicap chase at Aintree, then I'd be pretty keen on him as well, because I thought he ran an eye-catching race in a race that wasn't really run to suit him.
Okay.
So he's the third one.
All right.
The fourth one, let me just quickly flick through, is a horse called Grand Roi for Nicky Henderson.
How do we spell that?
Grand, as in the French grand.
Yeah.
Roi, as in king.
All right, in French. Okay. Yeah.
He I've actually backed him non-runner no bet from the Triumph Hurdle, and I did that the day before the Novice Hurdle confirmations came out last week, and he was, up until that point, he was the only Nicky Henderson horse entered in the Triumph Hurdle.
Right.
And he got taken out for those confirmations, so I'll get my money back, but I think the plan will be, he's had two hurdle starts now, one of which came at Fakenham, which for a hurdle debutant can be a tricky place to jump round, mm-hmm. the nature of it. But it was Warwick where he won in the week. I think it must have been on Friday that he won at Warwick. From a decent horse of Amanda Perrott's, a horse called Manucci, Scorched Earth, a horse of Dan Skelton's, back in third. Two half-decent juvenile hurdlers. And he did it just with consummate ease. He's a horse that I think will... potentially be one for maybe the juvenile grade one at Aintree, maybe given Nicky Henson's liking for taking juveniles over to Punchestown, what's the horse that he won? Fusel Raffles won the yep. Punchestown grade one last year, didn't he? Maybe that might be a target for him. He's two from two now over hurdles, both in lowish grade 4 year old hurdles, but I think he just smacks of one that is going to gradually improve and win a decent enough race on probably a flattish track or a flatter track than Cheltenham, maybe. So it's interesting that he took him out of the Triumph, as I say, given he was his only entry, and he ran last week, so he's clearly fit and well. So they clearly have a target in mind, given his ownership as well is the Million in Mind partnership. So they're keen to run their horses to win as much prize money as they can before selling them on again at the end of the season, which is kind of their MO, isn't it? So he's the fourth, Grand Noir.
Okay.
For a juvenile hurdle in the spring sometime. And the last one is a horse of Joseph O'Brien's in the J.P. McManus colours, a horse called Front View, who... I think ran at Thurles in the grade three behind 5 o'clock on probably Thursday. I think it must have been. He was eye-catching in that run in that it was over 2 miles five, and that was the furthest he's ever tried over hurdles. And he travelled really well into the race and then maybe just slightly petered out and managed to hold on for, or just clamber back up for second behind 5 o'clock, who ultimately was a pretty... impressive winner. Now he's got an Irish mark of 1-3-4. He has a whole host of entries over the next couple of weeks. He's in the Imperial Cup at Sandown, which I thought would be interesting because I think he's got a lot of pace. He's also in the County Hurdle, and he's got a Coral Cup and a Martin Pipe conditional jockeys race entry as well. So there's a whole host of entries there. But I thought it was interesting that Joseph O'Brien, you know, forward thinking for these connections. Potentially a horse that's nicely handicapped because he's got some very, very good form. I mean, he chased home Envoy Alain on hurdle debut in a manner that suggested while he would never have beaten Envoy Alain, he could have maybe finished a little bit closer. And then he won second time out, beating again some decent horses. And I think, obviously, whatever mark the UK handicapper gives him on Wednesday, he'll still be well treated. He'll probably be high 130s. But it could potentially be one of those attempting to do the Imperial Cup follow-up at Cheltenham.
In the County Hurdle.
Bonus.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, first and foremost, if he did pitch up in the Imperial Cup, I'd be pretty keen on him there. And then it's, you know, you're a bit of a hostage to fortune if you're going to back him for the Cheltenham Festival, if he is going to turn up in the Imperial Cup, because you're banking on him not having too hard a race and coming out of it well, etc. So... I think if you were going to back him for the festival, I'd suggest, you'd probably want the non-runner no bet concession, which obviously at this stage William Hill don't offer, but what we do offer is the better price on him for those races. So I'd maybe just consider him for the Imperial Cup first and foremost, and then potentially wait till nearer the day if he is declared for Cheltenham rather than there. But wherever he turns up, I think he's well handicapped in time.
Okay, so just sum up those five horses again.
So, yeah, we've got Song for Someone.
Yeah.
Tom Simmons hurdler, who potentially could be an entry hurdle type horse.
Yeah.
We've got Watmore, Henry Daly's novice chaser, who could be one for the novice handicap chase on day one of the festival. Kildasart of Ben Pawling's, potentially for an Aintree handicap chase, maybe the national, maybe. Grandois of Nicky Henderson's, his juvenile hurdler for a graded race in the spring, potentially at Aintree, as I say again. And Joseph O'Brien's JP McManus owned horse Front View, who will win, I'm sure, a nice handicap at some stage, maybe the Imperial Cup, maybe at Cheltenham, maybe further down the line at Punchestown.
Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff there. I must admit, Kildasart was a horse that I'd sort of been interested in. I was thinking about it on Saturday afternoon after the big race at Kempton. I've got a couple of horses you just might want to look at. Jenny Candlish's.
Okay.
One I think is pretty obvious. There's Cheddleton.
Yep, in the Premier Hurdle on Saturday.
Yeah, I've been taken with. I've seen this horse a couple of times at Bangor and Kelso. Real nice type, and to use that old cliche, looks like a chaser in the making.
Yeah.
And another one from the same stable, a horse that's going to, I think, rock up in a 0-100.
Okay.
I like those. These are the sort of things I like. Well, yeah.
Winner's a winner, whatever.
Called Annabelle.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's had a couple of runs.
Yeah.
Ran in that race at Doncaster last week, won by the Nicky Henderson, good thing.
Yep. They're very good at pitching low-grade handicappers into the right races, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Jenny Cunliffe show.
He's had two runs so far over hurdles.
Yeah.
Over hurdles. Just might get a mark in the 80s somewhere.
Yep.
That might be an interesting one. Some good stuff there. So, Song for Someone, Whitmore, Kildasart, Grandois and Front View. That's right, isn't it?
Yep. And Cheddleton, definitely.
All right, throw that one in if you want.
No, lovely horse. I saw him at Kelsey.
Yeah, a nice horse. Yeah, nice horse. So, good stuff there from Will. Horses to follow. His notebook.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.